All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You know, God's good, isn't he? You know, I love coming to PEI. I love coming to this congregation, this church, and being with Noel. And I just love flowing in the Holy Spirit. We've been traveling quite a bit this year. We were just in London, England for 2 weeks doing a school of ministry there. We actually did a school of ministry here back at FaithWorks Church a couple of years ago. I can't remember now. And many people took the training and a lot of people got a lot of healing. We're doing a 2-week school of ministry in Calgary this summer. So if you want to take some summer holidays and come join us. It's actually quite affordable. The School of Ministry is going to be at the Entheos Retreat Center, and it's only $1,400 a person. That includes 2 weeks accommodation, meals, and registration. And it is life-changing. When we preached in London, we did the Blessing Generation Seminar. He's talking about the Overcoming Anger Seminar. The church is maybe a little bit bigger than this church here. It was a little Baptist church in London, and 48 people came to the Blessing Generation Seminar. And 20 people got up and testified on Sunday morning. You know, I thought, I'm not going to get to preach. Would you guys just be quiet? You know, like, how am I going to preach? You know, so it was okay. It was like today. Like, you know, why did that pastor get up here and do this communion thing? Because, you know, it's taken all of our time. But you know what? It's what God wanted to do today. Amen. And the Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so a lot of times we don't have enough time for testimony. So after June the 8th, after that Overcoming Anger seminar, what anger is, it's actually an iniquity and it's rooted in shame. It's always rooted in shame. And so when we're shamed as a child and there's this shame that is put on us, anger just kind of goes out towards people. I had passive-aggressive anger. I was a pastor, but, you know, I still had passive-aggressive anger. And I just used to, you know, give people the silent treatment, you know, and I just kind of, I'm not going to let those guys ruin my life. And even with my own kids, my own family, like I would use anger, passive-aggressive, to control them. But when Jesus dealt with this thing that happened to me when I was 8 years old with my dad, God completely delivered me. And then God showed me that the anger was rooted from my grandfather, who had done the same things to my dad, and he did to me, and shame me. And shame is, as I release that shame to the cross, there's this divine exchange. I release the shame for his glory and his love. And I'll tell you, there's just no anger in this guy anymore. You know, there's just no anger. It's just gone. And so I would encourage you guys, there's at least 48 adults in this room, everybody to go and be a part of it, because it's going to be unbelievable. I don't know what I'm going to preach on here, but let's go to the next slide. And I just want to share a few things before we get started, because I'm probably not going to preach this whole message today, because what you can do, go to the next slide. Okay. excuse me. This is a new series that we've just put together called Building Strong Families. And it's basically has four messages in it. The first message is on the power of a father's love. And it's really a powerful impartation of just understanding the love of the Father. And then sort of the message that I'm going to preach today in a shortened version, the power of a parent's blessing. And the power of a parent's blessing, we're going to deal with it, is the 7 critical times of blessing and how to bless your kids at all those times. And then the third one is actually how to write a blessing for your children or for your parents or for people that you love in your life. And then the fourth one is leaving a lasting legacy. And if you want one of these DVDs, we don't charge for them. What we do is we just ask you to give a love offering. But for those that maybe you don't have a DVD player, you can actually watch it all free online. So you can go to familydreaminstitute.ca. And if you go to the familydreaminstitute.ca, you can watch all 4 of these messages online. You can download the workbooks, and you can be a part of that. And then there's also, for people that are school teachers, there's another 4 teachings that I did at Master's Academy in Calgary for teachers, how to bless students. And so if you're a teacher or if you know a teacher, excuse me, and you want to give this to them, we would really encourage you to do that. We had a vision 2 years ago to put this together, and we've put 1,000 of them together, and we've been sending out to 500 churches already across Canada. And we just have this vision that we want to see a culture of blessing just be restored to the nation of Canada. And so if you want one of those, they're up here. Just leave a donation. don't put it in the offering because, you know, they'll know. You just put it just on the table there. Or if you just want to watch it for free, you can just watch it for free online. But you can also make a donation to help this ministry because we want to reach 1,000 churches across Canada. And if 1,000 churches had 100 people that were in those churches, we can reach 100,000 people with a culture blessing. And it only takes 3% of a population to change a nation. And we want to see the nation of Canada changed. Amen? Amen. I think he's rebooting something. So that's all on there, all those things there. The other thing that I want to talk about is we're involved with a group of churches, an apostolic network across Canada, several different apostolic networks that we're involved with. And one of them is called Operation Rise. And Operation Rise is a kind of an underground group of pastors and leaders from across Canada that are looking to bring transformation to the seven spheres of influence. And we were just in Ottawa on May the 1st for the National Day of Prayer and the National Leadership Dinner. There's a group of MPs that meet together every Wednesday morning for prayer and for Bible study. And they're praying for our nation. And they're from the NDP, Liberals. Even Elizabeth May from the Green Party attends that meeting all the time. And they put down all of their political agendas to pray for the nation. Now, our MP, Tom Kimmick from Alberta, he's also part of that group. And so we're praying for our MPs. And then on the meeting, they kind of hosted this breakfast. And I think the prayer breakfast has been going for 50-something years. And Justin Trudeau and Andrew Scheer were there as well. And Prime Minister Trudeau read that scripture out of Matthew 24 or 26. It says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison, and you visited me. And I believe that his heart is that he really thinks that he's helping people with the legislation that he's legislating. But it's anti-biblical, and it's anti-scriptural. Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Because the blood of Jesus pays for that sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. The blood of Jesus pays for it. And the iniquity of that sin can be broken out of people's lives. And so just to make people feel good about what they believe doesn't make it truth. But we're battling a world of humanism that says, you know, that's what the truth is. And so so we're involved with this group, Operation Rise, and excuse me. And one of the things that we're fighting for, we have four pillars, but the one pillar that I'm kind of working with, it's the pillar for parents and families. And the wording of this goes, as parents, we have the right to raise our children the way that we want. We have a right to raise our children. That right is being taken away from us in Alberta. Your children, they can actually be taken out of your home if they want to change their gender or they want to do something that is not biblical and you disapprove of it. Your children can actually be taken out of your home. And same thing in Ontario and British Columbia. And so we're battling this thing where, you know, God wants any established families to teach and train their families. And it's in our fundamental rights of human freedoms, in that we have, everyone has the freedom of religion and the freedom to do what God has called us to do. Excuse me. One last thing that I want to say just before we kind of get talking here is that we live in a fatherless generation. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says, in the last days, he says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I was just listening to a message just on Sunday when I was driving home from Saskatchewan visiting my wife's in-laws. And that prophetic word, I believe, is being released right here in Prince Edward Island. It's being released in Canada. It's being released in the nations. That God is restoring the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their families. You see, I was in the Cayman Islands just in February. And in the Caymans, it's 90% fatherlessness. And we're seeing that in the United States, when I work down in the U.S., we're seeing in African-American communities, again, 90% fatherlessness. And we kind of think, well, that's all in those other places. But right here in Canada, 65 out of 100 students that graduate from high school in Calgary won't graduate with both biological parents married or living together. So we're getting to that place. And the Bible says when the nation is fatherless, the rest of that verse says, or I will come and there will be a curse on the land. And the reason that we're seeing all of the things happen to us and why all the laws and everything are changing is because of fatherlessness in our nation. And so we want to see that healed in people's lives. You know, children that grew up fatherless are 8 times more likely to go to prison, 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 20 times more likely to have behavior problems, and 10 times as likely not to get A's in school. But here's what the word of the Lord says. He says, I'm the father to the fatherless. He says, I am the husband to the widow or to the single mom. And he says, I set the captives free. And we want to break that cycle. And we can do that as we create this culture of blessing in culture and society. How are we doing there? Do we get... Okay, well, I guess we'll preach without the PowerPoint. Yeah, just do it right on PowerPoint and just see what you can get there. There's just one video on that green stick called, if we just show that, that'll be good enough after in a bit. But see what you can do. Okay, so I'm actually going to preach now, and I will be done by noon, okay? Is that, I don't know if that's possible, but... Yes. I said, how long do you allow preachers to preach here? Till 2 or 3, you know? Because I was just in the Caymans where that's where they do, you know? So, but I won't. But I do want to share just a scripture verse. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness that I've set before you a choice, life or death, the blessing or the curse. So choose life for you and your descendants. You see, you and I, we all have choices. God gives everybody a choice in the planet. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so here's the cool thing is that God loves every person on the planet. Doesn't matter if they're Hindu, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, gay, straight, married, divorced, broken. God loves every person on the planet. God loves every person on the planet. But God gives every person on the planet a choice. Choose life or death. And here's the thing, if you choose life, Jesus already did the death. Jesus already did the death. You see, God gave the big 10, you know. Oh, look at that. God gave the big 10 commandments, right? Thank you. Yes, sirree. So I'm kind of down to the first building strong families. Yeah, okay, Deuteronomy 30. That's where I'm at. and so Jesus, none of us are perfect. Has anybody here ever not sinned in your life? Let me just see. I'll just take a little survey here. Oh, just her. Okay. You know, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's the cool thing is that in the Old Testament, if you sinned, you had to die. Somebody had to pay for that sin. And in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices and they would kill a lamb or a goat. And what you do is you'd actually put your hand on it. And there'd be a transference of your sin, but it was looking forward to what Jesus was going to do for us. Okay, so God gives everybody this choice. He says, my son died for you. You have a choice to accept that or not. But if you choose not to accept that, there's eternal separation from my Father. See, that's a principle. And there's also this principle of blessing and cursing. He says, the blessing, you can choose the blessing or the curse. And again, blessing is imparting identity and destiny in the hearts of our children. And when we don't bless them, we actually curse their identities. And because we haven't affirmed who they are. And so blessing is a powerful impartation. The definition of blessing in the Hebrew comes from the Greek word baruch. And you guys can just kind of have to jump around where I'm at. One of the primary meanings of this word baruch means to empower, to prosper. So it means that I come towards you, I look you in your heart and look you in your eyes, and I just bless you to prosper financially. I bless you to prosper in your spirit. I bless you to prosper in the kingdom. Blessing is an impartation that you do to others, but also to your children. And so blessing is an impartation. And that's what that word baruch means. Actually, Barack Obama, his name means blessing. That's the Arabic derivative of blessing. So he was a blessing. The Greek word for blessing is eulogia. Has anybody heard a word that sounds like eulogia? Eulogy. Okay, so the word eulogila actually means to speak well of. And when do we usually speak well of the person? when they're dead. And so, you know, you can come up and say to Dad lying there in the coffin, Dad, I just wanted to tell you all these things. You know, the Dad, you're a great dad, and that Dad, that you did this and did that. And it's not really going to do him any good. And usually we kind of don't say the things, you know, we all say the nice things. We don't talk about the bad things. We just say all these nice things about Dad. Well, you know, when my dad turned 70, we had a eulogy for my dad. We took him down in the church basement, didn't put him in a coffin, but I blessed my father. And we spoke well of my dad and spoke all those things that were in my heart to bless him. And Dad's still alive. He's 83. And I'll say all those things at the funeral one day too. Now, there is, let's see here. There's seven critical times of blessing, and we just want to look at these seven critical times of blessing because those times of blessing impart identity at seven critical times in a person's life. The first time is at conception. The second time is in the womb. The third time is at birth. The fourth time is early childhood. The fifth time is puberty. The sixth time is adulthood and marriage. And then the last time, the Bible says, your children will rise up and bless you in old age. So when we get old, our kids are going to bless us, which is good to hear. And they answer identity questions in each one of those. And I'm not going to, I usually teach this, and you can listen to it online for free, okay? You can donate. I'm not going to go into detail because I want to get to another point here today. But I just want to say that it answers these questions in a person's life. The first one, blessing at conception, answers the question, am I welcome in this world? You know, I've ministered to hundreds and thousands of people that were conceived out of wedlock, and there's this lie that's in their heart that says, I'm a mistake. I'm a mistake. Now, their parents, maybe they got married, and they, you know, they love that child and everything else, but Satan plants a lie in the heart of that child that you're a mistake. And I just want you to know that if you were born out of wedlock or if you conceived a child out of wedlock, that there are no mistakes in God's kingdom. That you are important, that you are loved by the Father, that there are just parents that did it the wrong way. But there is no mistakes in the kingdom. Blessing at pregnancy answers the question, is there a safe place for me? So in the womb of a woman, it's actually the most unsafe place in Canada today. 40% of all children that are conceived out of wedlock, and 50% of those are aborted in our nation today. And I was just reading, and as we were praying last night here, the Lord was just kind of showing me and reaffirming this to me, is that that the blood of those aborted fetuses is in the land of Canada. And Prince Edward Island 4 years ago never had an abortion, that people had to go off the island. And what we can do, and I believe what you can do in the National House, or when you guys have the PEA House of Prayer, is at one point, because I think it's today, is actually the March for Life. So today would be a good day, if you're going to the March for Life, is to repent for the blood that has been spilled and for the life that has been taken, because that's an abomination to God. It's an abomination to God that life should be taken. See, everybody has immense, incredible value and worth. And I was actually just, if you can believe this, I was just speaking to a bunch of grade 6 students at a Christian school in Calgary 2 weeks ago. Big, tall me talking to these guys. And we're telling them about the immense, incredible value and worth that you have. And you know, these kids are already starting to believe the lie that I'm ugly, that I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I'm not, you know, because that's what the enemy plants in their hearts. And so we need to do this. And so is there a safe place for me? Blessing at birth answers the question, will my needs be met in the world? You know, when a child is born, and I was just on the plane flying here, and it was a newborn baby. And, you know, I love newborn babies, but I don't like them on an airplane because they do three things. They poop, so they got to go get changed. They cry, so they got to be fed. And then they do it all over again. You know, it's just like they're so helpless and they're so loving and they just need people. But you know what? There's many children in our culture, in our society, that their needs are not being met. You know, a friend of mine, pastor in Calgary, several years ago, they adopted a little boy. His name was Aiden, and I think Aiden was like 3 months or 6 months when they got him. But his birth mom was a crack cocaine addict prostitute in Calgary. And that little boy was so full of fear that when, you know, there would be loud noises in the church and when stuff would happen, he would immediately start to cry and withdraw into a little ball. And he had health issues and all kinds of stuff. And when We had a time, his parents came to me and said, can you bless our son? And I said, I got a better idea. You can bless your son, and we're going to break every generational curse that's over his life. And we had him at a meeting with about 150, 200 pastors and their wives, and Gary and Marta came up, and they just looked their son in the eye, and they blessed him and broke every generational curse off his life. And I'm telling you what, the kid was changed and transformed. I saw him 5 or 6 years later, no more fear, no more sickness, no more things that are going on in his life. He's a totally different guy, and he loves God. So God is, that's why God loves orphans. He just loves them, and he wants a safe place. blessing at early childhood answers the question, who can I trust in this world? Again, that's kind of the same story with Aiden. You know, who could I trust in this world? And there are so many people that don't have anybody that they can trust. In Prince Edward Island today, there's 60,000 marriages in Prince Edward Island, and there's 10,000 common law relationships. Common law relationships are not a covenant. They're not a marriage. And most common law relationships last less than 3 years. And many times, the women that have been in those situations have been abused and abandoned by their own parents or by others or by boyfriends or by others. And so they're looking for love, and they bring in some guy that's dangerous to their kids. And they're 30 times more likely to be sexually, physically, or emotionally abused by a stepfather or stepfather figure that comes into their life. See, God designed that we would be in a one flesh covenant relationship, and that all of our needs would be met emotionally, spiritually, and that we need to learn to trust our Heavenly Father. And then blessing at puberty answers that question, do I have what it takes? You know, we're talking to all these little 12-year-old boys and girls at this school the other day, and they're just going into junior high. That's kind of that puberty that, you know, they're just turned 12, and they're just wondering, do I have the right stuff? You know, young girls. We do this one exercise where we take a piece of paper and we have them write on that piece of paper a false label that they believe about themselves. And it would shock you, the things that they write on those pieces of paper. And some of the words I can't even mention in public, but worthless, no value, mistake, idiot, everything is my fault, all of these things are they believe about themselves, and they have a choice. We tell them, you can choose to believe that false label, or you can exchange it for a true label about who Jesus says that you are. And everybody has a choice. You can choose to believe the lies about yourself, or you can choose the truth. Can somebody say amen? And so we have to realize that the enemy is putting lies in a generation. So they don't even know their own gender. But God knows who they are, and God designed them, and God wants to bless it and answers that question, do I have what it takes? And just think about in the Jewish culture when Jesus was 12 years old. The Bible says that they went up to Jerusalem as was the custom. And here's what the custom was. They don't really kind of tell you what the custom is, but what the custom was is that 12 years of age, they would have a bar mitzvah for a young boy, or a young girl would have a bat mitzvah. And when I was in Israel in 2014, we went to the Jerusalem, we went to the temple where it was, we went to the Wailing Wall, which is the only existing part of the temple, and every Thursday is Bar Mitzvah Day. And so what they do is they have 10 or 15 dads and uncles and grandpas and men of significance in a young boy's life. And then they have guys that kind of look like you guys playing guitars and playing tambourines. And you know, they're dressed all in the old traditional Jewish stuff. And they're singing, you know, Havana, na, ya, na, I don't know what they're singing. They're just singing a whole bunch of songs. It's a great big honking party. And then they get their son and they put him on this chair. And they lift him up and they put him up there and they said, son, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I want to bless you and tell you that you're no longer a boy, but that you're a man, and that you are a son of Israel, and that God is the God of covenant, and God loves you, and we love you, and that you're no longer a boy. We're going to walk with you. Whew. And that would happen to Jesus. Okay? So Jesus would have been blessed, and it literally means, bar mitzvah means become son of the law. So become a son of the law, before you could get that bar mitzvah, you actually have to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Oh, man, that's tough. I don't know how I'd memorize it. And they have to do it in Hebrew. So you got to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. But so Jesus is blessed. And Jesus would have come in the caravan with his mother Mary and all the other children. But he was supposed to go with his father Joseph and the men, because now he starts to work at a trade. Okay, and what trade did Jesus have? Carpenter. Okay, and if he didn't get a trade as a carpenter, he would get a trade as a rabbi. Okay, so he would study as a rabbi. So 3 days, they're kind of traveling along, and Mary and Joseph kind of meet at the fire one night, and they go, where's Jesus? Well, I thought he was with you, Joseph. And Mary, Joseph thought, well, I thought he, can you imagine Joseph? Mary would be going, Joseph! For all the way back to Israel and said, you lost Jesus, you know, God's going to be mad at us. Man. So why do they lose Jesus? Because Jesus was with the men. And what was Jesus doing in the temple? He's preaching. And it says that he was confounding them. And here's what the Bible says, that Mary says, why are you doing this to us, son? Jesus said, don't you know that I was supposed to be about my Father's business? And the Bible says that he grew in wisdom, favor, and stature with the Lord. Then he submitted himself to his parents for the next 18 years of his life in preparation that when he was 30, he would be launched into his adult identity and destiny. And so blessing at puberty answers in those teen years the question, what does it take? And go to the Father-Son rite of passage picture here. And so we don't have that kind of shift in culture today. And so what God is kind of showing us is that we take fathers and sons on Father-Son rite of passage weekends. And I'm not going to tell you everything that happens because I'm going to show you a video of what happens. But I just want to tell you about this group. That's Rabbi Kel Goldberg right there with his son in the blue hat. And Kel and Jan are very good friends of ours. They pastor a Messianic congregation in Calgary. These are all Messianic Christians. And we hiked up onto this place in Calgary in Kananaskis, and we did this Father-Son rite of passage. And we're going to do one of these Father-Son rite of passages at Green Pastures next weekend, Friday and Saturday. And we're just encouraging all of you to come to that, all the men. Sorry, ladies, this is a guy's thing. And we just want you to know what happens at the rite of passage stays at the rite of passage, okay? So, but it's going to be a powerful impartation. And maybe you said, well, I don't have a son here. What we're encouraging you to do is to just bring another younger man with you. Just talk to somebody. Adopt a son. That's right. Adopt a son. And even if you can't adopt a son, we'd encourage you to come out because this is going to be life-changing and transformational. Barry's going to bring his motorhome out there now, so we're going to have a place. We're going to do all the cooking and do all the stuff. And I know that Simon can cook, so we're going to have some good food. And I'm thinking maybe we're either going to get mussels or lobster because we're in PI. You know, we got to do something that's going to be different. And so we're going to have some good time with that. But then we're going to do something like this. So let's watch this next thing. It should go right into the video right here. Might be a little delay, but it should go. Come on. Oh. Just hit the button one more time. Maybe it'll start. Oh, go back one. Oh, let me just come and just check this. This is too good not to do. Uh-huh. Oh. Okay, it's not going to work. Yeah, just drag that over.
Hi, my name is Neil Campbell, and I'm the director of the Father-Son Rite of Passages that happened here at Mauna Kea in Kona, Hawaii this past weekend. We designed these weekends to
it is.
Transformation to relationships.
He's going to try dragging it over.
Started off the weekend with just an incredible...
You might have to turn the PowerPoint off.
Fathers against the son, where we really just really begin to bond the boys and bond the dads together just to create an atmosphere of blessing for the weekend.
If you guys had a Mac, you wouldn't have these problems.
We share throughout the weekend times of testimony, we share stories about the life of David, and then we have just great adventures.
Is it going to work?
Saturday morning, we had a father-son mighty man competition. We found out who the mightiest man in the camp was.
Oh, I don't think it's going to work here. Oh, we got the person that's going to fix it. Yes.
Hi, my name is Neil Campbell, and I'm the director of the Father-Son Rite of Passage.
There you go. That's good. Just make it big. There you go. Turn on the volume. We'll keep it start from right there. That's good.
To bring transformation to relationships between
Just turn up the volume.
Starting off the weekend with just an incredible time of capture to flying fathers against the son, where we really just really begin to bond the boys and bond the dads together, just to create an atmosphere.
This is in Mount Mauna Kea in Hawaii
for the weekend, and we share throughout the weekend times of testimony. We share from stories about the life of David, and then we have just great adventures that we do together. Saturday morning, we had a father-son mighty man competition where we found out who the mightiest man in the camp was and who the mightiest son was. And then we talked about David and his mighty man. And then we started our adventure of going up the hill at Mauna Kea, going up to the center, and then climbing up a mountain and talking about David and Bathsheba and the iniquities of the fathers, how they're passed on to the sons. And it was just a powerful time as we talk about sin is something that you do, but iniquity is something that is in you that causes you to sin. And then it was just powerful just to watch as fathers and sons would take a stone and symbolically renounce that iniquity that was in their life, confess it to their sons. And then probably the highlight for me is just watching fathers and sons scattered across the top of the mountain, and they're sharing with one another deep conversations about things that are important to that father and important to those sons. And the testimonies that you're going to hear reflect some of those things. Another powerful time of for the weekend is we have a blind trust walk where we blindfold the sons, and the whole design is for the sons to listen to their father's voice, symbolic of them listening to their heavenly father. And as we blindfold them and we walk them around, we have four different dads share on four important topics: a man and his word, his integrity; a man and his worship, his walk with God; a man and how he should treat a woman; and then a man and his work and his destiny. And again, there's this impartation that happens as different men share, and the fathers bless their sons. And all of that's done under the canopy of stars, and just millions of stars, and just a beautiful environment. And so we just want to invite you to come be a part of one of these Father-Son Rite of Passages. It's something that will change the life of you as a dad, and it'll change the life of your son. So we just bless you, and we just encourage you as you walk with the Father. Thanks for listening.
So if you want to be a part of that this weekend, and we'd encourage you to come. There you go. We don't have to worry about it too much. So if you want to come, just call Pastor Noel this week. Let us know, because we just have to make sure we got enough food for everybody. And, you know, even if you don't have your dad here, if you're a young man or a dad that wants to come, this is going to be a life-changing weekend. You think this was good today? We're going to have communion next Sunday as well. And we're just going to believe God for even more. And then I'm actually going to go preach in Summerside after we're done. So we're going to be done by 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then I'm off to Summerside to preach probably this message or some kind of message over there next week. And we just encourage you to be there. And then you might be thinking, oh, so what do we do for daughters? You can go on to the Family Dream Institute, and you can see the videos on the princess balls that we do for young daughters, and bless the daughters. Then, blessing of adulthood answers the question, what am I called to do in this world? And then, kind of, just that blessing affirms identity and destiny as a young man or a young woman. And the scriptures tell us in that when Jesus came down into the Jordan River, John the Baptist saw him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus' identity, the Lamb of God, and his destiny to take away the sins of the world. And I believe that every young man and every young woman has a dream and a destiny that's given to them by God, but because they don't know their true identity, they never fulfill what God has called them to do. And so that's what we're going to do on the Father-Son Rite of Passage, and we're going to have an incredible time of impartation of blessing. And here's the thing about, you know, what God the Father did for his son. Some people say, well, blessing is, you know, where is that in the Bible? Right here, when Jesus comes out of the waters of baptism, God the Father says these words to his son: "This is my son whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus hadn't done anything yet. But those are the same words that were said to Jesus at his bar mitzvah by his earthly father, Joseph. They put Joseph up on the thing, and they ran around with Jesus, and they go, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son whom I love." You know, there's a wound in every man's heart, and that wound is often caused by an earthly father that either abandoned them, abused them, or just wasn't there for them. But God the Father says, "I am the father to the fatherless. I put the lonely in families, and I heal the hearts of every person. And then we talked about, you know, that God wants to bless us in our old age, and we're going to have an opportunity for the sons to bless their fathers, or for the older men to be blessed by others on Sunday morning around the communion table, around the campfire communion. And then last that I just want to just kind of share is the power of a parent's blessing for single moms. You know, the Bible, that it says, so what about single moms? What can they do for their sons? Well, they can send them with one of these dads to make a real difference in their lives. And again, I've been quoting that verse of scripture. It says, He is the father to the fatherless, the defender of widows is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families and leads prisoners out with singing. There are 10,000 single parent families here in Prince Edward Island. 10,000. And you know what? God loves every single one of them. And God wants to just release blessing over every one of their lives. And so we just want to let you know that if you're a single mom, that God loves you and that God's put you in this family. And God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has a destiny for your children. You know, my sister is a single mom. And last summer, I took my nephew on the father-son rite of passage. And my nephew, he's 13, but he's almost as tall as me. He's 6 foot tall. And so Ryan and myself, we drove up to Algonquin Park and did a canoe trip up there, and I blessed my nephew. You know, God's it's called us all to stand in the gap for others. And that's what God wants to do in our lives and in your life together. So just as we kind of wrap up here at 12 o'clock, there's five things that happen in a blessing, appropriate, meaningful touch, a spoken word, attaching high value, picturing a special future, and expressing an active commitment to them in the future. And I just want to close with this story of a father and a son. There's so many stories that I could share, but this one is kind of dear to my heart because last year we went to Cloud Canyon, Georgia, which is not too far from Atlanta. And this one father who was an African-American dad who said he hadn't been camping in 50 years. He was an executive for AT&T, vice president, and he brought his two sons, DJ and Alex, and he brought his two sons to this father-son rite of passage. And we sat on a rock, and on that rock, we talked about iniquity and how we taught that today is that we take that iniquity to the cross. And I can remember DJ, who is an African-American man of 40 years of age, who spent most of his life in and out of prison with addictions, with drugs, and all kinds of other stuff because of the abuse or the abandonment that his own dad wasn't there for him all the time. And there was the iniquities that were passed down the generational line. And I watched DJ throw that rock off that cliff and just renounce that stuff that was back in his past. And then I can remember just seeing them over here. There was a 200-foot waterfall in the background, and he's there with his two sons. And he's speaking blessing over them, repenting for not being there for them, and just telling them how much he loved them. You know, DJ's life turned around. He's got a job, kept out of prison the last year. I just got a Facebook message from my friend just this past week. His son died, 40 years of age. He died in the home. He was living with his mom and dad. No drugs, no alcohol. Just expired. I don't know why that kind of stuff happens, but here's what I do know, is that I'm going to see DJ in heaven because I watched him commit his life to Christ, and he had the Father's heart and the Father's blessing. And you know, we want to just release a Father's blessing over each one of you today, and we just encourage you to either get these resources, and you can watch all these different messages online. Or you can, you know, just watch them online and just kind of get this into your spirit. We want to see a culture of blessing. And the reason that I'm doing this one in PEI is because we want a group of men in this church that are kind of carry this. Because, you know, I have a vision to see 100 men do one of these every year right across the country so that we can see a generation changed. One last story I'll just tell you about. It's a young man who came to a Blessing Generation seminar who was self-identifying as a girl when he was 13 years of age, came and received the love of the Father and the Father's blessing came into his life. He came to that same Algonquin trip last year with my nephew and myself, totally transformed, totally healed, identifying as a young man who has a destiny with God. So I'm just telling you that the blessing works. And so, Father, I just pray right now that, God, you just increase your presence here right now. And God, I just know that, God, that you're the God of blessing. And that, God, that you love every person in this place today. And God, I just know that you love each one that's here. And today, if you just want to receive the Father's blessing, I'm just going to ask you to stand all over this place because God just wants to release that blessing into your heart and into your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, we just release your blessing, Lord, over every one of these sons and daughters that are in this house. Father, I pray your blessing over them today. I bless the women that are here today, God. I bless them as mothers, as daughters. Lord, that they are beloved by you. Lord, maybe their earthly father wasn't there for them. They felt abandoned and alone. Lord, that their earthly father never blessed them. But I just hear you saying, Father, I just hear you saying, Father, you are my beloved daughters in whom I'm well pleased, that you are precious, that you're valuable. He says, I've taken all the shame of your past and I've exchanged it for my love, that you're in my heart right now, that you dwell in a safe place. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. So I bless each of the women that are here today. I bless you as mothers. I bless you as wives. I bless you as daughters. I bless you as grandmothers. I bless you as great-grandmothers. Whatever your season, God says, I am not done. He says, I've still got so much for you to do. And Father, I bless the men that are in this house. Lord, I bless the young men. God, they are warriors. God, I bless them, oh God, to rise up, oh God, in their destiny, Lord, where maybe they've not been blessed by an earthly father, but God, that they would know that, God, that you have a destiny, that you have a plan for their life. So I bless the sons that are in this house today. And Lord, for the sons, Lord, maybe that are not here, Lord, that maybe some people here, their sons are not serving the Lord. God, I call them back right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we release blessing over their lives. Lord, even as Joseph was lost to his father for all those years, God, you brought him back to his father. And so, Lord, we're just believing, God, that you bring every son and every daughter home. And, Lord, I bless the men of this house that, God, that they would rise up in the heart of the Father. That, God, that the heart of the Father would just be so powerful in this place. That, God, that when people come in, Lord, that they're just going to say, what is different about this house? What is different about this place? God, it's different because, Lord, you love each one of these men. And I bless you, men. I bless you as sons. I bless you as mighty men. I bless you that you, what your past doesn't determine your future, but God says, I have got great things in store for you. And so I bless your futures. And we bless your pastor today. We bless Pastor Noel. God, he has the heart of the Father. And I ask God that the dreams and the vision, Lord, that he has, Lord, to see, Lord, revival, Lord, to see transformation happen in this church. And Lord, to see people come into the kingdom. I pray, God, blessing, Lord, over this man, over his family, over his children, over his wife. God, we bless them today. That God, that they will just accomplish all that you've called them to do. That God, that they will walk as Jesus walked as sons. So we bless them right now. Lord, we break the orphan spirit off of PEI. And Lord, we release the spirit of sonship and daughtership. And Lord, we bless this congregation in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering.